This one says, Corey, please ask the persons that are dealing with corruption tomorrow, please ask about corruption in the Police Service Commission. So I'm going to make note of that in case that is forgotten. All right. This one says, I have a serious concern about the junction in a junction in St. Philip, the Y Junction, which comes from Miss Rams to on to Gemswick coming from the airport. I believe that area is called Rock Hall. Please, that junction needs to have a stop painted on the road by the junction that comes from the Miss Rams side. I live in St. Philip and I'm seeing many, many near misses and accidents. Please do something before someone is killed there. This one says, Corey, I have difficulty on a previous occasion to agree with Reverend Morris, but on this one I can agree. I am not Anglican, mind you. This one says, Corey, as a young man like you, I hope that you are pleased with Charles Morris coming to the public, the issue and bringing the issues of the Anglican Church. He seems to be reasonable and logical and not personal. We as a public call for things to be exposed, so thanks to him for that. Now that the political men and women, they have to follow suit. While you and I may not be able to tell where the corruption is, we know it's there around the political class. I read one more and we go back to the lines. This one says, Corey, a lot of pressure is placed on civil servants, often made the scapegoat of all that is slow and bad in the business environment. I am a young civil servant at 20 years old, and one change that should be immediately enforced is the restriction that is on civil servants' ability to have a known and bona fide source of income. Currently, you have approximately 25,000 to 30,000 educated, experienced, and capable persons forced to retard their abilities and capacity to earn and innovate. And we talk about increased productivity. Brad Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Tell me something, Corey. Why is it taking immigration so long to act on tip-offs? You could try to explain that.
I don't know what would be the restriction there. Usually things like that you would hear, you know, lack of manpower, lack of resources and stuff like that.
But I thought that when saying to pass on this information and this and this and that, it would treat it in the strictest of confidence that they would move expeditiously to get these things resolved. But this is about 17 days, 18 days that they have received, and I know it's a very good tip off. And the person who asked me to pass on this information seemed to be very concerned that nothing has happened up to now.
Right. And I believe that if you want to be successful with these types of exercises, you would have to actually move fast. The whole idea of moving fast before a situation change would come into play.
Yeah?
Want
me.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know. They would have to indicate whether publicly or privately to us here, and let us know what are the challenges that they are facing in relation to these tip-offs, you know? Or it may not be a priority. I don't know. I don't want to guess. I would have to hear from them. I don't know. That is the answer. I do not know.
Okay. Well, another thing. If you, let's say, ask the police to warn a person, right? How do you know when this person is warned? Because the police don't come back and tell you, I guess.
I guess you would have to call back the officer and ask. They don't let
I don't think you should have to.
Well, that's the system. That's
as a matter of principle, if you ask the police to warrant on, well, the police ask you all your information that you give them. When this person or person has been warned, I guess it is the police duty to inform you whether Tom, Dick, Harry, Bob, or whoever, the police have warned so-and-so person.
Both of the things that you raise actually fall into one, and that is how effective and efficient we are in relation to the mechanisms and procedures we have in place. So without going into the exact reason with the immigration or replying to letters or how we do, to me, this is my opinion, my very strong opinion, we don't have that kind of professional culture in Barbados where you receive something, you act on it, you respond in a timely manner. That does not exist in any great measure in this country.
I guess not.
Yeah, so that is all tied up into that whole thing. Yeah. Although we may point to other technicalities, you know, lack of this or lack of that. At the end of the day, it is falling out of our culture. I've written some of the highest offices in this country before, and I've not even gotten an acknowledgement of a letter. So that has now become part of us, unfortunately. And I believe we can change it. Those are things we can improve. Those are areas that we can improve in.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, so.
Very much so. I mean, you are asking the public this, and that. And then when the public react to what you put out, then, there's no there's no action to this thing. Then you know what I mean? You just left in limbo. If these people really working on the information they get and whatever else.
If I had to change these two questions and put them into the People's Manifesto, what would you want to tell all the parties contesting for your ex? What would you like to see?
I tell you what, I don't know if we would be seeing anything better or not, but they all come with the sweet mouths and they talk so nicely. And then by the time they know that they are lodged there, you don't even get a chance to see them again. I mean, right now as it is, I think people should go to the polls if and or when they do and mark their ex, let's say, wisely, however wise that is.
Mm-hmm.
But
apart from that, what would you like to see?
I would like to see a much better Barbados.
Oh, you're more looking at it overall.
Right. No problem. Thing.
I thought you were saying I would like to see an immigration that acts on tip-offs immediately. I would like to see an improvement.
Probably. I would have been getting to that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been getting to that eventually, you know. But now the horses now are all gets like. But another thing, a long, long time ago, that I don't ever think will come to pass, no sense to it yet. There was talk about salary increases and that sort of thing. And this is nearly 2020. And you ain't seeing anything. I don't know next year if we can expect something like that from whichever party now rules, which is highly unlikely. But
you seem to have lost all hope, man.
You see, cynical, when you got people there that saying, well, we will this and we will that and we will other things. You know, then when they get there, it is something different. I remember some time ago hearing some talk about collecting all the monies that is owed to VAT, to the VAT office, some time ago during some campaign. And there's another campaign now going on, and I can't remember hearing that they collected all this money or how much they collect from the people who would hold the VAT office and that kind of thing. So these are the sort of things we got to live with. I don't know if you remember hearing, but because I find that you are very well read. And I don't know if you remember hearing during the campaign some years ago there, that really we come to power, all this money that is owed to the VAT office, we looking to pick up, you know.
But I think, as I keep saying, we the people has got to demand, and if we want to be able to actually see these things come to fruition.
But Mr. Corey, it don't make sense we make any demands.
No, I think we got to do it together and collectively. And I think that the fact that we've bought into what you just said is the reason why we are here. I can point to you examples where we made our voices heard on particular issues in a non-partisan way. And I think that we've been heard, listened to, and some adjustments have been made.
We might have been listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But probably not heard.
I believe we've been heard. I point to Cahill and the solid waste things, and the other things that I would have pointed to as well. When I saw Barbadians, because something hit them in the pockets, and they bombard this program, they send more WhatsApps in one show that I've ever seen before. They continue to cry out. They call their meetings. They had their panel discussions. They went out to, I think it was the Lloyd Erskine Center First Center, and they made their presence felt, and they continued on a campaign.
But how many things changed?
But I saw that project brakes put on our project immediately,
okay.
Right? So but you see, we don't have many examples because we don't do it too often. But the few times that we have done it, we've seen that change, So if we can collectively get together in a nonpartisan way and say, listen, we want this. And not just say what we do not want, but say what we want and let the representatives represent. That's really my prayer.
That's what you would like to see.
That's what I would like to see.
I guess
I've seen some examples of it. But the other people there, like you, they're saying, look, they're saying, so everybody have retreated. And so we complain and we switch parties every 5, 10, 15 years, but we're still not getting what we want because we're not collectively demanding it.
Switching parties don't even make a difference.
Right, unless we can add our voices and say to them, listen, we ain't just switching parties now. This is what we want. And if you, because they feel as though a lot of times that they're guaranteed, let me say, 10 to 15 years, right? So, I mean, in the first 5 years, you might tell yourself, I could do as I like. You know, because I got another 5 put down. But if we say no, we can even change you after 5 years. We can even raise the ante that we want power recall. If you don't do what you got to do in 2 years, that you're gone. You understand what I mean? Those are things that I know are very possible.
Right. You know what I would like to see, which is very highly unlikely too. You elect.
You
got to
start optimism at all. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. They really bug you, man.
I will really say, well, listen to this, man. Mm. I would like to see that if we elect a person or persons for parliament, that person you elect become your representative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If your representative is not performing, let's say, to your mind, properly, it should have been some mechanism put in place that we, the electorate, have that representative removed.
Correct. It's called the power recall. And both parties talk about it now, have implemented. But if we raise the ante on it loud enough and long enough, and we can get that implemented so that we have a mechanism that we can trigger that, I think we will see better representation.
I think so too.
Because nobody wants to be kicked out of office.
You know what I mean?
You understand?
I would think so too. That should be, some mechanism should be put in place that we have that power.
I can put that down in my people's manifesto, though. The power recall. I got in that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
All right, thank you.
That would make a big difference, man.
All right, thank you. Let's leave it there. A couple of WhatsApp. This one says, good morning, Corey. I was to make this presentation for a while now. Everyone seems to have a poor memory when it suits their purpose. I'm referring to a person who keeps saying that children always paid less on minibuses than on transport board buses. This is just not so. It is only on the transport board buses that children paid less by law. At the discretion of the minibus owners, a lower fare was charged to school children in uniform, not because of any sense of responsibility, but because of the recognition that if they didn't implement the same lower fee as the state-owned transport board, they stood the chance of losing a large part of the traveling public market. Another one here. Good morning, Mr. Lane. This is John Kelman. I am not an Anglican and would therefore not become involved in matters at Lincoln. However, as a social worker, after hearing Reverend Father Charles Morris on your program this morning, I did not hear anger, but rather burning pain, a cry in a crescendo which said, oh my God, why hast thou forgotten me and my contributions? Charles, like I and others, I feel your pain. I believe that this dilemma will pass, affording you the peace of mind. Stand prayerful and firm. This situation, like others, will pass one way or the other. Brad Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Mr. Lane, yes, a blessed please. Day to you, sir.
Blessed day to you, too, as well.
Thank you. I trust your weekend was a beautiful one, and the week remained as well for you.
Amen to both.
Yes. Mr. Lane, I want to make two short comments before I make my major point. That is, the first one is, anyone who expects a prime minister to reduce or liquidate his authority is just living in a mystical world. In that, if all roads lead to the prime minister, then who should have the authority to exercise? That's one. That's the first one I want to make. I do remember Mr. Arthur did have a constitutional review some time ago, and I do not remember anything was being changed. That's some years ago. And the other one is, I want to agree with, I believe it was Mr. Callender, I think that's his name, a gentleman that works at the airport, when he spoke. And he said that persons are lining up themselves for parties now because in they expect to get what? Well, he didn't say goodies, but I'm saying some goodies. And when he said that, I remember this morning on the other program, a caller was asked by the moderator if he left the Democratic Party because he didn't get what he wanted. And he agreed, yes, you can put that way. He did not get any of the fatted calf. And he said he's looking for that as well. I think that was a very unfortunate thing to, well, I mean, he spoke truth, but I think it's really unfortunate to look at it that way because it shows that, and give a clear idea what the reason why a person will join the party, not to do good for the country, but I want to get this. It is me, myself, and I. And I think when Mr. Callender made that statement, I want to align myself to that. Now, let me go on to the major one I want to see. You want to make a comment first?
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. Have you ever heard, Mr. Lane, anyone in the Caribbean boasting and saying that they are going to be the next prime minister or indeed any part of the world that you can think of? Have you heard any politician in the opposition, let's put it that way, saying things like that?
I think all of them do.
You've heard that?
Yes. Listen, I've heard all people, and this is something that amazes me. Eh? Listen, tell me if I'm wrong. When you listen to people running, right? All the candidates seem so confident every single time. Whether they get beat 60-1, they just always sound confident. Every in the Caribbean, in Europe, in America, everybody, I'm going to win. We've got this. And I think that it is even sometimes fake bravado. It's just kind of like drum up the confidence of the people, their supporters. Let me ask you the question in reverse. Have you ever heard anybody run elections say, I'm going to lose?
No, you are missing what is the question I asked.
No, I did not ask
if a party is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically asked if you ever heard any leader or anyone in the Caribbean boasting that they are going to be the next prime minister.
Yes, and I have heard it. I have. Do you follow political campaigns in the Caribbean and across the world? And they even go on to say, when I become the next I will be the next prime minister, and we will do. And they go on and on like that. They've won it already.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have detected, I'm detecting the lack of the spirit of humility and the promotion of boastful pride.
Mm.
And I am saying to you, any person that lacks the spirit of humility is one that one has to be careful with and would boast and would promote the spirit of pride. I am concerned about that.
I don't know which party you're talking about, right?
Well,
but if you want to tell me, you could tell me, because I'm trying to, because not even a caller calling, I hear your voice, I know what it's like, but I'm not picking it up right now, right? But I see on both sides, right? The Barrister of the party is saying, you know, elect us, and Ms. Smalley becoming the next prime minister. I am seeing the prime minister say, look, win number three is coming. This is going to be three love now, you know? So I see confidence coming from both of them.
Let me show you where the marked difference is in the leadership of the two parties. One party that had what one calls a flurry of jump up and whatever else, and you've got another party that would seek to have a church service in recognition of the leadership and the guidance and the direction of God that would they depend on the country's future to be led by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to you that that is something that needs to be thought of, because in any time that you would prefer to promote revelry and to highlight yourself as the Mr. It or Miss It or whoever, rather than show the benevolent spirit and the humility for where you have been and where God has brought you to. I am saying to you that there is a significant difference, whether you would want to agree with it or not, but anytime
I don't know if I agree or not, but I could get a little piece, please. Just a little piece, please. I could go ahead. All right. Hello?
I am very silent.
No, I just wanted to make sure I was not cutting you. Okay? Now, this is... my name is Corey Lane, right? And I've never supported a party. I've never joined a party, never signed up a party, or probably joined up and signed up all one time or something like that, right? But no, let's forget that a minute, right? Now, each of the parties, the major parties, right? They go to church. Do both of the church parties go to church? I'm just trying to be fair here. Both of the church parties go to church? Caller?
No, I'm
asking you. We're having a dialogue. I'm asking you a question.
If both parties go to church?
Yes.
Or you mean the individuals?
The both parties. The parties. And the individuals, no. You know both parties have church services?
Yes.
Whoever that comes to you, tell them I shout them. Right.
That's
both parties. Right. That's your wife?
My wife just came.
All right. Tell her I shout her. Right.
I'm about to go to a funeral.
Right. So just let me make this quick. Both of the churches, they go to church, right? You see them at church services, right? And both of them, you see them hold facts. They bring in Luciano, they bring in this body, that body, that body. You see that as well?
I hear about it.
You hear about it?
I haven't left yet.
Right. So what is the difference between the two things?
I have not heard. Let me say this to you. I have not heard the other party mention and give thanks to God for anything. I have not heard it.
But that's not so. I see both of the church. I have concerns about the sincerity of either, right? I do
so
not know their hearts. But I see both church.
I have to go.
Okay, no problem. Enjoy. This is Don Abrastats. Parties galore late. We got 5 parties late 24 days before the next general election in Barbados, I tell you. This one says, Corey, tell that guy that it's one thing to host gospel events, another thing to lead from Christian values. This one says, good afternoon, Corey. I sent a letter to BRA and was advised by the officer there to have my password reset since last week Friday. And today I have not seen a return email to this respect. I forgot my password since I am now retired. I also had to change my email address recently. I therefore need to get it registered in BRA in order to file my income returns. Should I have to pay the $500 if the password is not reset by close of day? I need an urgent response. The lady needs an urgent response. Okay, that is what we are here for, urgent responses. This one says, Corey, I was once property manager for a high commission. One of the first things I was taught by my foreign boss was that the entire foreign staff on that high commission were civil servants and should not be treated in any special way. Just like the rot star treatment we give to politicians, it has to stop. I say this because we seem to treat diplomats and embassy staff with such reverence. This one now is... Hi, good afternoon. I listened to Reverend Charles Morris dragging the Anglican Church through the mud. I thank God I am not an Anglican. If he has so much negative things to say about the last bishop, why didn't he call a meeting and let him know what was bothering him? He's airing his dirty linen in the public domain, and that is so wrong. This one says, hello, Corey. I wrote into Brastats last week about a problem my mother had with a crime being committed against her home. But after a month and more, I'm not getting any response from the police. She didn't even hear from them even after I put it on the radio. What really hurts is that she got a WhatsApp from New York to try to get some help from her where my mother is in Bim. Rasta. So we reach far and wide, sometimes even further than local here in Barbados. Anyhow, 27 minutes after one, down to Brass Stats, you're on the air. Go ahead. Brass Stats, good afternoon.
I would like to ask a question before I launch into my main concern.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to come out of these recommendations and suggestions? Are we going to, is a petition going to be presented to Parliament or anything out of this?
I think a number of things it actually started to come out of it. For the topics for the People's Parliament, I think we would have referred to some of these suggestions. I know in particular the ones that I had put forward, I went to the People's Manifesto on our website, and when the ministers come here, we use this information to really put that information to them as well. I think more can be done, like what you're suggesting. I think it should actually be at the conclusion of it, something should actually be drawn up, and we'd be able to press for some of these things by way of petition and so on. I think that it is very important, because there are some really, really good kernels coming out of all these things being submitted.
And it's the only forum that the people have to really get changed.
You said it.
No, okay, let me go into my main concern. I would like to see that when you get failure, massive failure, like the catastrophe of CLECO, situations like that, I believe that that should automatically trigger two things. You should have hearings to see what went wrong at the level of cabinet, not just judicial managers, I think. This could take into consideration feedback from people who come and do audits and so forth. We need to know what went wrong and how legislation can be put in place to fix and to stop this thing from recurring again. Now, let's look at the situation with CLECO. When CLECO Trinidad began to show signs of failure, Barbadians were assured that CLECO Barbados was a separate entity and we need not worry about what was going on. Then we realized that that was not true. You know the history. People now set to lose a lot of money, including me, too. And we were told, we heard that the reason why it was not true, that what was going on in Trinidad was not separate from what was, well, we weren't protected from what was going on in Trinidad, is that Barbados did not have antitrust legislation. So you got these multinational or conglomerates or whatever you call it, and what happens in one territory does indeed impact on what's happening in the other territory. But antitrust legislation could have protected us from what took place in Trinidad. I haven't heard since then that that any legislation has been put in place to that should events like that occur within another company, that there will be some measure of protection of Barbadians. You had Trade Confirmers fiasco. You have CLECO, and yet still, years later, you're still hearing, we don't have antitrust legislation. What does it take to make cabinet respond? What does it take to put these kind of mechanisms in place to protect us from these situations? It is that. Then there was also, I don't know if this will be on antitrust, but you had a situation where you had a CEO. I ain't going to go into too much detail. You had a CEO setting up a company as a consultant to the same company that he's CEO over. You know, these kind of things look nasty. And they need to have legislation in place to protect Barbadians against these kind of things. And to question whether government has some measure of responsibility and whether they should pay people, take some of the financial burden. Of course, they should take some of the financial burden because insurance companies came under the supervisor of insurance purview.
I could clearly remember right after that collapse, there would have been some amendments made to try to prevent that stuff from happening again. I can't remember exactly what there were, but I think I put that down here for some greater investigation and fleshing out. So yes, if in the People's Manifesto, again, this is something that should be placed fairly and squarely there. What are some of the things that have been done to prevent another Trade Confirmer / CLECO? And what are some of the other things that can be put in place? Because even if you put things in place now, the way how the financial rules and the environment change from time to time, mm-hmm. things will have to be continually monitored and upgraded to ensure that they don't happen again. So I want to thank you there as we're going to move on at this time. A couple tidbits, to use a good friend's phrase of WhatsApps right now. This one says, what is representative politics? Where does the first responsibility lie? In which order? Is it country or constituency first? What is the right balance? Should an MP be recalled for his national duty? Should this supersede his constituency duty? Churchill said, country first, myself last, constituency in between. This one said, why has BRA in Holton closed for lunch at noon with a promise to reopen at 1 and at 1:10 still not reopened to take the money from the over 50 waiting taxpayers? Says, hi Corey, the Prime Minister is reported as telling his group at the DLP headquarters on Friday that, and I quote, we've got to face the stern facts in this country and have a genuine, authentic, credible dialogue with the people of Barbados about Barbados' future. Because you can put as many plasters over the sore as you like, but the sore is still there, end quote. Really, Corey? Really? Has it not dawned on Mr. Stewart that this dialogue should have been had with the Barbadians a long time ago? This is pathetic. This one says, Corey, you are so correct. You and that caller. I think representatives should represent the people who put them in. The representative should head a team of community leaders put in place to help you develop the constituency by putting programs in place for everyone, from school age to adult, especially the vulnerable in the area, the young pregnant girls, the elderly, the poor, the school leavers, etc. That's in a nutshell. One of these days, I will call. Bajans do not understand the simple but powerful concept of strength in numbers. So God led them for the past 10 years, and where are we? Ask him to check the PAC and Auditor General's report, stoops grasping at straws. One last one. This one says, good day, Corey. But if I said the same ministers refused to show up at the authorized Public Accounts Committee meeting, who does Starcom Think Network think it is? You cannot summon the DLP. They are busy doing the people's business. Evidence of the actual work being done. Just a thought. Rastats, good afternoon. 24 minutes before we strike up the banner, head on home at 2 o'clock at the end of today's Rastats. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hello, good afternoon.
Right. Now, I want to pick up from where the caller left off, who has a visual impairment. I think he's from Black Rock.
Mm-hmm.
In his discussion with you, you read some WhatsApps which alluded to, directed or instructed you or advised you to take him off the air.
Before you go any further, did I read any WhatsApps while he was on or about him, for him, to him, while he was on or just after he
went on? Right, when he was on, right.
How many WhatsApps did I read?
Yeah, I didn't know how many, but you said that.
I read zero. That's how many I read.
But okay, you said that you read something. there somebody is on the chat said, so you mean you're spreading a split hairs and maybe between...
No. It's not splitting hairs. You said I read WhatsApps. I read none. That's not splitting hairs. It is that you are misrepresenting the facts. I said to him, many messages are coming in that saying we're giving you too much time and so on. And it was using that to balance what he was saying,
how
we are so unfair here to pro-government people.
Okay. Well, the essence of what I'm saying is that you read something. It doesn't matter.
I didn't read anything.
But you said that. Something came in.
Right, there are lots of messages coming in. That's what I said. I didn't read anything.
But anyhow, the point I'm making, Mr. Lin, is that you said the distinction, because he asked you why you didn't say that to Vinny and others, and you said what he is dealing with is trivia. And then what the others were presenting was not trivia.
So I didn't say that either. You're trying to paraphrase,
I
was saying that the others would deal with issues. Like, so they're complaining about things that are happening. And he's talking about something about who snub who and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, I understand you, Mr. Lane, right? Mm-hmm. But I am saying that is the point he's making is significant. Because As a media host, you also got a responsibility to be fair. And if he's pointing out to you a shortcoming of yours, that you mean it, maybe the program or the station, that is very significant. And he's showing you true snobbing, and he's just showing you that you only snob one kind of people. If you don't snob the Barbados Labour Party,
but he didn't explain what snobbing meant. I didn't understand what it meant. I still don't understand. You could probably explain because he wasn't able to.
I can explain to you. Mm-hmm. If you evaluate the calls coming in to this program, not only when you are a moderator, most of the people who you would condemn or either cut off or say you're talking foolishness is usually always Democratic Labour Party supporters. And supporters here doesn't mean that you're a member of the party. It just means that I might hear a point, I don't agree with it, that somebody made against the government, and I might intervene. And right away, you might say that is foolishness and stupidness, or that is trivia.
That's something you hear on Brass Stats on a regular basis.
It is a norm for me.
I listen to the program, you tell me don't hear that.
You see, you're going to say that in yourself, but you're going to let somebody see it for you. Sometimes you write the letter, and you read it 1,000 times, you can't see the mistake. Somebody else got to read it for you.
But no, so on a program like this, I listen back to the program something twice, because I listen back to improve on like grammar, diction, all those different things. So I listen to the content and so on. What I will find is that pro-government people will get more challenging. They will get challenged more because but I don't see them getting snobbed. I don't get to hear them say, "Man, you talking foolishness, you talking stupidness." I don't hear that a lot. You probably hear that like one or two times because some people come here with some really ridiculous thing. And I hear it from people from that support the Barbados Labour Party too. So I hear moderators telling them sometimes you may have a Wesley or you may have a Winnie and they come and they're really off on that day. And you would say, you know, you're really off on that day in many different ways. But I see that when it was the other way around in 2006 and 2007, I noticed the same very thing. The government got challenged a lot more. To the point where former Prime Minister, he came out and talked about how Beijing's like belly aching and so on. So that would have told you that people were even complaining about then. People will always complain against the government more than they complain against the opposition. Is that fair comment? Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
But to be honest with you, right, I follow these programs over the years, probably more than you, and that's not my assessment. That's not what you recall.
You listen to the program sometimes two and three times, one program?
You may listen back to it.
Do you listen to it on the day, on the repeat, and then on the podcast?
Yeah, sometimes more than that. Because you listen to it more than me. I play it about three and four times, especially when I find a particular point that somebody said, right?
Well, you beat me on that. But prior to 2008, 2006 and 2007, you would say that the opposition was getting more challenging than the government, or the government was getting more challenging?
Yes, Corey, and let me tell you something.
Which one? I need to be clear.
The opposition, the David Thompson, the opposition, they were the ones being challenged. What you had,
what?
I can remember, right? You had a very loud voice, used to call it the taxi man.
Yes, I remember the taxi man.
Very,
he used to have me
loud.
Rolling up. Mm-hmm.
And his voice was loud.
He used to be challenging the opposition?
He was for the opposition, but challenged the government.
Right.
To challenge the Alpha at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Wesley was one.
Yes.
That's true.
Pig Pay Man. They used to call it Pig Pay Man. You see, I'm Patrick now. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, But the voices that were for ONAF were far exceeded the amount of voices that you hear for the DIP at the time.
That's not my recollection, because I remember listening to Brass Stats. A lot of my friends said, when you was an old man, you listening to that, I used to be laughing and I used to be in stitches, because taxi man alone could attack on about 10 of them BLP callers. I'm telling you. So I was young, but I run long.
That is true. But Corey, let me say this. Look, as you read, or you say you don't read, but you spoke of things. You check yourself if you listen back. You know you don't hear no WhatsApp, no emails, no nothing at all going positive for the government.
Man, no, you're here, man. So we can't summon the DLP. They got work to do.
One out of the so many.
But you need to blame your supporters for that. We don't control who writing here. But what I try to do is look through for all and read as many as possible on both sides, because hundreds of WhatsApps come through here. Right. Minister Lashley even writing here himself and said, listen, we had a $40 million loan, so a small contractor's bill.
I hear that.
So they do come. We can't control who come and who don't come.
But I think DLP people try to keep away from the station. I want to try to, but sometimes they can't resist when you hear how people being treated.
Mm.
When you hear DLP people being treated, you're forced sometimes. You can't sit back and allow it to go through.
But you wouldn't admit that the DLP as an administration deserves some of the lashes that they get. Even from within their own ministries and ministers, right. Don Valenis, Stephen Lashley, all of them came out and they're saying, you know, one thing our party really failed at is communicating. We should have communicated a lot more on our reflection. Even Eswick and so on, you know, in reflection, the economic policies may not have been the best. We should have done this and we should have done that. So even if within the one party that they can admit it, I believe that supporters should be able to admit it too.
I am not sincere in saying so though, because I ain't one that I agree with the point of view. So I know that right now you have to tell people what they want to hear.
So you are satisfied as a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party, you're satisfied at the level of communication that they have engaged with the people of Barbados, particularly over the last 8 years?
Right, let me answer this way. What I was seeing about the communication, whenever they tried to communicate, it was always distorted, especially at this station. Look, you know what the governor of Central Bank, the former government, got away with the Nation newspaper and then get railroad? He gave them the number 60 to print 600 just to make the government look bad.
No, because then you got to correct things and you put more focus then on the positive. So if you try to make a negative out of that, that's silly. Let me tell you something. I'm a young Barbadian, right? I ain't 36 yet. But let me tell you, right? I do not feel as though I have ever been spoken with my prime minister. Whenever the prime minister speaks, to me, he's never done, and it just has, may have to do with his style, right? He never did any national address or anything and say, you know, the same thing, like kind of wrap yourself around the flag. I always felt every time the prime, and I'm being quite frank and honest down to the depths of my heart with this one now. I've always felt as though I've been schooled by him. You know, like, Corey, you need to come off the nipples, Corey. Corey, you don't understand what temporary mean, Corey. Corey, I felt like a father scolding me every single time. I never felt like a hug was being sent out to me as a citizen, a young citizen of this country. And always speaking at branch meetings and parliament, I feel that that is enough. Never that kind of national address, no press conference, no nothing like that. And I don't take simple to those things. I feel very bad about those things. I'm not angry about them. I just feel bad about them.
But just remember that you're Corey Lane. And it happened to me, and I don't feel bad about it. Because one of the things I can tell you,
whoa.
I live in a constituency, and I've never seen none of my representatives over the last 20 years. I've never seen any, and I'm not interested in seeing them either. Because there's nothing I want from them. What they're going to do, the people's work. I don't understand when you become a representative for the constituency that you're here to assist me personally.
Right, correct. Be on the same page with that.
Do you see you? I will go and find you or something of the sort. But you don't have to come to see me. If I got issues in my ear with debushing, rats and things running about there, I know how to go down the hill there by the FTW thing at depot. I call it, and people came. So still, I don't want to see the representative for what? This my time. I'm a busy man. What are you going to want to see him for? Sometimes the prime minister go and speak. And do I have time to listen? Well, if I do, what I find is that it has to be saying part of he's going to say. Because he don't talk a whole
lot. But look at you. You're a supporter. Yeah. You don't even want to listen. You listen to Brastat four times.
No,
although you try to keep away, but you don't want to listen to the prime minister.
You know why? Rhetoric. Rhetoric.
You accusing Prime Minister of rhetoric?
No, he don't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But former Prime Ministers spoke a lot and nothing necessarily happened. For example, a Prime Minister went down in New Orleans where we had garbage collection just like, no, you know, people don't believe that we know our garbage problems. back then we had garbage problems.
But the problem back then is that it would have been a different level of communication. I believe from speaking, there are certain things. Now, listen, you can like this part, right?
Yes.
In speaking with some Democratic Labour Party ministers over the years, I've known some, I've been close to some, and I can tell you, I think I even call the names. It's only because having personal conversations with them that I understand what some of the challenges are sometimes. But as you say, I'm only correlating, I am one. The
right.
people that pay taxes in this country should be made to understand. I understand from them, from the horse's mouth. At some points, I used to have to come here and bring a defense because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, because I knew better, because they told me, they showed me certain things. But they should have been the ones coming to the public and telling them and showing them the challenges so people could understand. But no, they felt as though, oh, I'm here to govern and govern, I should govern, and
I don't have to answer to anybody.
That is the impression that I got.
This is one thing that I realized, right? This is something I realized about the station again, right? These people are going to come here with utter disrespect, you know.
Give an example.
You see Kelman?
Mm-hmm.
Kelman was the best thing in the world when he and David Thompson used to be at it on this calling program. All of your people, I remember Father Hatch used to say at the end when he signed off, "Yes, Mr. Kelman, you're always great. It's always good to hear you. A very wise man." That's who used to sign off, Kelman. From the time the party settled and Kelman settled into the thing, all of a sudden Kelman is the biggest idiot that we got, you know? And that is where I'm showing really disrespect. Sometimes they don't even allow the people to talk. You're asking all the time for people to come on the poor ministers. Mr. St. Clair on the program, we talked with Peter Wickham a few weeks ago. When he asked the minister questions, he realized the minister could give the answers. He ain't already finished the answers. He's bunging on to another point. So Mr.
I don't know if it was bunging to another point. I found this with the people's parliament. When politicians start to talk, you have to cut in as soon as you get an answer or try to reinforce the question and try to get a kernel of an answer. Because if you allow them to go on, boy, can they go
that
on.
That is true.
You understand?
I agree with that, Corey.
Telling you.
I agree with
and
that.
And sometimes they don't even answer the question.
This guy was answering really well, but one of the things that Chris Singler had to say to him to get him to slow down, he said, "When I talking to you about..." He said, "No, you're talking to me. You're talking at me." Which is true. He was shouting to the man. He wasn't letting him finish the statement. And he was just going on. And that's bad, disrespectful treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think if a prime minister comes on, right? I've seen this happen already in about 2000. I was on the program, Mr. David Thompson and the prime minister have a clash at the time. And the program automatically got extended and for probably over half an hour just because the prime minister was on. But you all just come like you're coming to bull rush the people. You don't want to speak to them properly. It's as though you want to expose them for something bad. And when you realize that it is something bad, you feel bad. You want another point where you can pin them down at.
No, I think a lot of it, and let me just say I understand where you're coming from, but I think a lot of it is the fact that because there's been so little communication over the time, there's a lot of built-up pressure, there's a lot of built-up questions, there's a lot of built-up queries, and you're just trying to get so much out of the one opportunity that you have to deal with them. But let me talk about the other side, the disregard for the public. Now, we've got a piece of People's Parliament going here, and they've came on two occasions, and they've missed the two. When they were here on the two occasions, I am sure you listened.
Yeah.
Did they get any poor treatment or anything that would merit them not showing up for the next 2 weeks?
I feel it happened, right? Corey, let me show you something, though, now about all of that.
We got to move on, so Lani playing.
Just one little quick question,
yeah.
Right?
Mm.
The caller that was on, I just call it, I tell the people all the time, but they never listen. He said that the recession finished in 2009, right?
Mm. He said and that, or IMF and World Bank?
In other words, we agree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That it finished in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So the implication is that it finished in 2009, so Barbados should have been out in 2009. Do you understand that?
I understand, right. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
I got you.
Because when America went into the recession in 2007, all in 2009, we still enjoying life as normal. It came down here afterwards. When they reversed now, and things began to, recession began to ease, we're not going to see it right away. It's going to be a lag. And in addition to that,
but there's a 10-year lag then, because 2009, but it's soon 2019. You get where coming from?
Yes, that is true. But the other factors, for example, where they say what they had said yesterday on the calling program, that the offshore, the revenue that came in, $200 million was lost from offshore revenue because of Canada and their new regulation.
And when you sit and you see the power, the microscope go on you and see what else could you have done. Okay, was it by management? Is it just external factors alone? Are there things that you could have done, policies that you could have put in place in a timely manner to kind of...
All of that was answered yesterday,
right.
They showed that they didn't sit back.
And that is
great effort.
And that is a case for why they need to come here and talk to be able to answer those questions. And there goes the case. Anyhow, thank you very much.
Okay.
I think we've had a good run. We got to get on the rest of the callers as fast as possible. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Donna Brass Stacks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
You call here, isn't it?
No, it isn't. Anyhow, you have a good day. Sorry for calling. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Corey?
Yes, please.
Oh, my word. I enjoyed that last caller.
Not like me.
And you know, both of y'all had very good dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should be. He allowed you to speak. You allowed him to speak. And that every point he made, it's so true. Corey, I was calling before 2008. And let me tell you, I did not find that the government was pressed during Mr. Arthur's time, as this government is pressed. I know as a caller, mandatory days to come down so hard on me. They said all sorts of things. Because it was unusual hearing somebody, I remember, they were listening, but the profile of this person, how they speak, is so different from the Democratic Labour Party profile. I don't know, because the fellow was articulate or whatever. Let me tell you, you all treat the persons who you all think and those who identify themselves as Democratic Labour Party terrible.
I think there are more issues now than there were then. Wouldn't you admit to that?
Corey, I don't have a lot of time, so I will.
I know.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree in this sense.
So you don't think there are more issues? I don't. Look, opinion and subjective thing we can disagree on, but certain facts we need to think. Y'all said there are more issues because of the economy and so on. So then you can't turn around then and say there are not more issues. There are more issues.
The transport board. Had problems under the B's, under the D's.
You got way less buses now, so you will have more problems.
But they had money to buy buses, and I'm
right.
Told they bought buses that were second-hand buses.
So you are saying why they had less issues.
No. I'm saying it was an issue then, as it is an issue now. Garbage was an issue then, as it's an issue now. Potholes was an issue then, as it's an issue now.
Can you have the same problem with 260 buses that you have with 60 buses? The issue, yes, you have bad transportation system in place, but it would be a lot worse.
No, but then you have to look at the problem objectively and say, under the BLP, there were problems, but they had more financial resources to deal with it, and there were still problems. Under the DLP, there are less buses, but there's less finance to deal with it.
Correct.
But the whole question of hubris, let me get to this quick point I wanted to talk about. You see this guy that talked, the guy that said about opposition leader claiming to want, saying they're going to be the prime minister, and he was trying to explain to you, he wasn't talking about candidates, he was talking about leader of opposition. I have seen twice, the first time I let it flow, but the second time, Ms. Motley has said when she was addressing the Chamber of Commerce, the next time I will be addressing you all, I will be addressing you all as prime minister. I said, political rhetoric, let pass. Then I heard it again when she went to her constituency. I am not coming back to you as the MP. The next time you see me, I'm going to be prime minister. But then, when I look at page 27A of Sunday Sun, Albert Branford, who is not a supporter of or sympathetic to this government, writes always in favor of the BLP, and his letter speaks about mere hubris or pride. And he says, one of the things a politician seeking higher elected office must never do is create a sense of entitlement, like you're entitled to be prime minister, and or inviting the suggestion of being power hungry. He spoke about the decision by the leader of the BLP, Mia Motley, to share with the public a letter that she sent to the prime minister in light of his delay in setting the election. And Albert Branford, not a supporter of this government, said this was a troubling political development that does not augur well for future governance. He said it borders on the offensive to write a prime minister letter You mean, if we take it that, you meant that to be taken seriously, and then you put it in the public domain. Frankly, you cannot treat the Prime Minister's office like that, whatever your feelings might be about Stuart Dismal and disappointing tenure. And he said, but perhaps more important, if you are aspiring to the office of Prime Ministership, then you have to treat the office of the Prime Minister with at least a modicum of respect. Otherwise, you'd be tearing down that which you so unabashedly want. He said what was revealed by the tone of Mayor's public importunings of Stuart was a bloodthirsty demand. Call the election now so I can become Prime Minister. That is what that caller was referring to, and that is what I have been noticing. I look at leadership style. When you listen to this program, they only talk about the leadership style of the Prime Minister. Corey, what you want is balance.
It's funny that you talk about balance coming on to the end of a contribution like that. I think we talk about leadership across the board. The Prime Minister's leadership obviously would factor. We talk about leadership from the church. We talk about there's leadership needed in the schools. We talk about Miss Motley's leadership came under scrutiny here with the People's Parliament, all these different things. When we talked about all throughout the period of time
Never.
Of this thing.
I don't know. Maybe I
And you talk about
program.
Balance. You were probably over at listening to another station at the time you were
talking
about that.
No, I was listening to you and the other station.
You can't listen to both at the same time. You can't.
You don't have to.
You got two ears, but you'll hear one.
You have podcasts you can listen to. So don't go there.
I want you to come back in another time.
Let me say to you all, be balanced.
Right. We will continue to be balanced here on Brass Stats as we allow callers, like the last caller and other callers, to be able to bring the issues, bring their opinions, and at times we will try to bring the facts too as well. I want to thank the production team of producer and technical operator Graham Vaughn, and of course taking care of things on the telephone, production assistant Daddy Biggs, aka David Howell, in his orange shirt today. So don't jar street for him. Well, you can look forward to Larry Mears taking over here on VOB929.com and VOB92.9 FM. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. Do enjoy the rest of your day. Lane out.